This is Wide Margins Episode 10, Diagnosis. When I started this podcast, I made a goal to discuss from time to time what it's like to live with Parkinson's disease. I thought that would be helpful, especially to people who share my problem, but also to folks dealing with maybe other disabilities and chronic illnesses, just frustrations of different things, some of them more serious than others. It doesn't matter. We all kind of get through this the same way. That goal is harder to get to than I thought. I've avoided talking about this from the pulpit as a preacher in Bible classes. I talk about it with my wife, of course, and with certain friends who are really good to listen to me about it. But another one of my goals is not to wallow in self-pity. And there's a fine line between talking about your problems and wallowing in self-pity. How do you do that? But this is Parkinson's Awareness Month. As of this recording, it's the end of the month of April. You can see the procrastination there. End of the month. And I told myself, you are not going to get to the end of this month before recording an episode on Parkinson's. So I thought I'd start at the beginning, and I'm going to try this. We're going to talk a little bit about my diagnosis with Parkinson's disease. I was diagnosed with this something like 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago. It's April 2018. I was diagnosed at the beginning of 2016. But the symptoms happened long before that. I was working out and I started noticing a lot of pain in my back and my shoulder on one side. And when I was running, I'd get to about the 2 mile mark and I couldn't lift my left leg. It was like dragging, and I thought it was related to the back pain. Maybe there was some kind of nerve pinched in there or some problem in the hip, some impediment keeping me from lifting that leg all the way up so that I could run normally, but I didn't understand why it didn't happen from the beginning and why it was setting in, you know, on the second mile or so. So I started to see some orthopedic specialists and they didn't come up with any answers for me. I never knew where that would end up. Several months after that symptom popped up, I was sitting in a chair. I remember like it was yesterday, where I was sitting, what was going on, and I was just sitting there in a chair, and I noticed that my hand was trembling. There's a slight tremor in my hand. Now, tremors can be caused by all kinds of things. I don't want anybody out there listening that has a tremor to think automatically, I have Parkinson's disease. That's not the case. There are all kinds of reasons why your hand could be trembling. You could have a twitch or a tremor of some kind. Medication does that sometimes. Fatigue, exhaustion. You could have what they call a benign essential tremor, which just means you shake. You know, sometimes it's not a sign of any real disease. It's a benign condition. And that's what we thought that I had early on. Because of my age, I was in my mid to late 30s. And the tremor wasn't acting like a Parkinson's tremor yet. So it was really confusing at the beginning. I went to a lot of doctors. The first doctors I went to, the orthopedics, were in the end of 2011. I went to the first neurologist in 2012, I think in the fall of that year. And I just went in to satisfy a chiropractor who asked me to go check that out. And he put me through a barrage of tests. I wasn't nervous because I had no idea what he would say, but he checked out a lot of things in the office, you know, clinical diagnostics, and left the room for a little while. And I remember he came back in and he said, well, it's one of two things. You either have essential tremors or you have early Parkinson's. And when he said early Parkinson's, I just remember my heart jumped up into my throat and I got physically sick. I mean, it's the first thing I thought of was, how much time do I have? You know, it was just awful. And I said, why are you saying Parkinson's? He said, well, you know, it's just one of the possibilities. It's probably not that. You probably just have a benign tremor, but that is a possibility. We'll have to keep an eye on it for the next few years and see if it progresses or not. Well, I wasn't happy with that at all, so I did what any reasonable human being would do when he gets news from his doctor he doesn't like. I got a different doctor. And that started me on a roller coaster of tests, MRIs, different specialists, different kinds of diagnoses. I'm not sure how to say that, but you get the idea. It was a roller coaster, up and down, good news, bad news. I made a list here of the different kinds of specialists and doctors that I went to. I, of course, had a GP. I went to see a neurosurgeon, a neurologist, a rheumatologist, an orthopedic specialist, an orthopedic surgeon, a chiropractor, several of those actually, a massage therapist, a physical therapist, several physical therapists. I went through physical therapy 3 times. A dentist who was like this holistic dentist. He took out all the silver fillings in my teeth. I know this is weird, but this idea that maybe there was something in my dental work that was causing neurological symptoms, I checked that out. He, of course, said, yes, that's exactly what it is. Took out all the silver fillings in my mouth and replaced them with the composite fillings. Didn't do anything. Acupuncture, before anybody recommends that, I've tried that. Didn't do anything. So I went to a lot of different specialists, a lot of doctors, a lot of non-doctors, and it just kept coming back to Parkinson's. When I went to see a neurologist, that's what he would say. So it was a long process. I think a lot of people who are older, they're expecting something like that more than I was. And my doctors, too, didn't know in the beginning. My symptoms had to progress a little bit more. But by 2016, everybody was in agreement, this is Parkinson's disease. You would think that I was devastated by that point. But I gotta tell you, when I finally got to that point after 4 years of being on that roller coaster and trying all these different medications that were not good for me, you know, that had terrible side effects, I gotta tell you, I had this sense of relief going home from the doctor's office because now we knew what it was and we knew what we had to fight and we had some tools, not perfect tools, but we had some tools to fight it with. I met a man, actually I've been friends with him for a long time, and I was talking to him not too long ago, and he told me, I knew that he'd been fighting cancer for a while, but he basically told me that he'd been to his doctor, they'd learned that the chemo he was on was not effective, and they'd made the decision to come off the chemo and not treat it any longer and just let nature take its course. And he told me, he said, you know, they tell me I got about 3 months. And when somebody tells you something like that, you really don't know what to say. You're just, your mind is spinning. You just don't know how to react to that kind of thing. What do you say? You say, oh, I'm so sorry, and you know, I'll be praying for you. What can I do? It's so final. There's nothing you can do. There's not anything you can say to make it better. And so I was struggling with words. And he graciously stopped me and he said, listen, I feel great. I feel better than I've felt in a long, long time. I am prepared. I know where I'm going after this life. I have faith. My family's okay. I'm okay. And I'm enjoying every day like I've never enjoyed my days before. I don't know that you can understand what he's saying unless you are walking in his shoes. I don't understand that, but I do understand what it's like to just not know what's going on and to be carried around and get in just from one wind to the next and start to feel that nobody knows what they're talking about. You go to a doctor who's a specialist and he's going to tell you you've got what he specializes in. I ran into that a few times. I ran into some other specialists who said I didn't have what they specialize in, so that's not a blanket statement. But to finally get an answer, it's not a bad thing. You have it anyway. You might as well name it so that you can fight it. That's how it was with me. It was a real relief. So I've been diagnosed now for a couple of years. I've had the disease at least 8 years, and you know, I feel that I'm managing it pretty well. I can do pretty much everything that I want to do. I have to adjust some things. I can't play the guitar anymore. I hate that, but there are other things that I work around. I can't type, but I live in a day and age with this great dictation software, so I can dictate stuff and, you know, get the job done anyway. I've met all kinds of people I would have never met because of this, and it's actually turned out in many ways to be a blessing. I know that's just something people say, but it's really true. I was praying with this group that has Parkinson's, a little group that I was praying with, and one of the men was praying, and he thanked God for Parkinson's. Everybody else had been praying, you know, let's defeat this evil disease and let's find a cure, and they were asking God to just knock it out. And he was thankful for it. And I knew what he meant by that, because it changes your life, and any disease or illness or disability or anything that takes control away from you will do this. It brings you closer to God. It makes you lean on Him more. It tells you that you're not in charge of your life. Someone else is, and it just helps you let go of a lot of stuff that you wouldn't let go otherwise. It's like Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's what it is. Before I stop this episode, I want to talk about some things that you may not realize about Parkinson's disease. Maybe you don't want to know this stuff, but this is stuff I think is pretty important, and having been diagnosed now for a couple of years, these things keep coming up. So here's the first one. Parkinson's disease is not a death sentence. It's not a death sentence. There are a lot of conditions that I could have had that would have been really, really bad. This was not the worst on the table. You go in, they say, this could be ALS, this could be MS, this could be a brain tumor, or this could be Parkinson's. Now, you put all those out there on the table. If I had to pick one, I'd pick Parkinson's disease, now that I know what I know about it. A lot of people just don't know much about it, or they've known family members or friends that had it. And I don't know, maybe back in days when they couldn't treat it the way they do today, or maybe they didn't spend a whole lot of time with him, but it's not a death sentence. The normal lifespan is only just a few years longer than the average lifespan of Parkinson's patients, and the gap is closing on that. So don't tell people that you know somebody who died from Parkinson's. I had a lady, she called me on the phone to encourage me a while back. And one of the things that she said to encourage me was, I had two uncles who died from Parkinson's. How is that supposed to help me? It did not help me at all. And it was not true. There are some things that can happen. You could trip and fall and, you know, bust your head open. Or you could have some dysphagia that creates problems swallowing and get pneumonia or something maybe as you get older. But Parkinson's itself doesn't kill you. There's other things involved that are indirect, maybe, but it's not a death sentence. You can lead a fulfilling life with Parkinson's disease. It doesn't have to be doom and gloom all the time. another thing is, and this is kind of what I was leading into saying anyway, is it's a manageable disease. And we have to look at it that way, that it's manageable. Just because it's chronic and there's no cure yet, that doesn't mean you can't live with it and you can't do the things that you love to do. I was reading something written by an artist who has Parkinson's. He's had it for a long time, I think 12 years. He's in his late 40s, so he had it early on like me. And he said that he doesn't look at it as a disease so much as a condition to be managed, and it's like a discomfort to him. It's like if you got a bad knee or a bad hip, he just looks at it that way, and he works around it. And I think that's the best attitude to have toward it. Another thing people don't realize is there are other symptoms besides the tremor, besides the imbalance and the motor skills, other symptoms not as obvious, but that people suffer with in silence. One of the weird things is you either lose your sense of smell or your sense of smell changes, or in my case, one of my earliest symptoms was that smells would get stuck in my brain, I guess, but I would be smelling them all day long, especially really bad smells. This is a terrible symptom, but you know, I'll smell something like garbage early in the morning. I will smell that until I go to bed that night. Thankfully, when I wake up, there's some kind of a reboot and I'm not smelling it anymore. Dirty diaper, bang. It's with me the rest of the day. Just like I was carrying it around with me. It's the strangest thing. But your sense of smell changes. You can have some pretty weird dreams. And I haven't done this yet, but there's a symptom where you act out your dreams. You have some night terrors or screams. I have awakened my wife a couple times talking to people in my dream, especially when I'm particularly angry. I had this one dream about, and you can have this without Parkinson's disease, but I had this one dream where these kids were like playing around in my yard and peeking through the windows, and I just woke everybody in the house up going, "Hey!" Just yelled it out. It was pretty funny, but I don't know. And it's one of those things, I'm not sure if it was from Parkinson's or if it was just the weirdness that is me. Muscle rigidity. People ask me, does Parkinson's hurt? And it doesn't hurt except for the muscle rigidity. There are some things like in my back, around my shoulder, in my arm, where the muscles are just really stiff. But if you can stretch those, and if you have the money to get massage therapy, if you do some exercises and stay active, stay limber, you can help that along a lot. Going along with that is a condition called dystonia. Dystonia is where the muscles are so rigid that it will cause like your foot to draw up or something. I have that problem if I'm not active or if I drive in the car for a long time, like I'm about to do tomorrow, my foot will start curling up on me, like making a fist, and the toes will curl under themselves, and that's not very fun, but if I'll get out and walk around, if I stretch my foot, it kind of loosens up a little bit. One thing I wasn't prepared for was depression. What happens in Parkinson's disease is you have a dopamine depletion. The dopamine cells in your head are dying. By the time symptoms show up, 60 to 80% of your dopamine cells are gone. Dopamine is one of those feel-good chemicals. If you don't have it anymore, you can tend to have anxiety and depression. So that's something that, you know, I deal with, but, you know, when you know what it is, you can learn to manage that as well. You start feeling down, you feel terrible, you start being critical of yourself, or you feel anxious, and you realize, I'm just tired, this is the lack of a chemical in my brain, it's not due to anything that's real, I'm okay, and you can go on. But I gotta tell you, as a preacher and a minister, I've tried to help a lot of people dealing with clinical depression, and anxiety and thought I knew what they were going through and just had no idea. I got to tell you, if you haven't dealt with this before and you have family members who are going through it, I'm talking about the depression here, you just can't know what it feels like unless you have it. It's not the same thing as just being sad or just being in grief even. It's totally, to me, it was a totally different feeling, and I'm able to manage it just right now just by saying, hey, this is the Parkinson's, you know, you're going to be okay, I have a good support group around me, so it's not, you know, it's not anything I can't deal with. Another thing are the sleep disorders, which sometimes that can be caused by the medication you're on, sometimes not, but insomnia, it's bad. Sometimes it's hard to fall asleep. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you're wide awake and you've only had about 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And then the last one I mentioned goes along with that is the fatigue. You can get tireder faster. That's been very frustrating. But again, it's not something you can't manage, especially if you have a good support group around you and if you, like I do, have a supportive employer who helps you get the time that you need to fight this disease and manage it. We need more research. We need more funds raised for Parkinson's research. The best medicine that we have was developed in 1967. We have not moved the ball forward in terms of developing a better medication since 1967. And that medication is problematic in its own ways. It, you know, is very effective in other ways. It's certainly not a cure. A lot of people are working hard to find a cure, but we're still a long ways off, still learning, just scratching the surface of this thing. One of the best treatments they found is exercise. I think it has something to do with, you know, blood, increasing blood flow in the brain. It also helps with the muscle rigidity and fights against the muscle weakness and the imbalance and all of that. But the problem is you can't exercise unless you take your medicine. So you have to take the medicine to get loose enough to exercise, and the exercise will hopefully slow down the progression of the disease. That's the goal anyway. The worst possible thing you can do if you have Parkinson's disease is park yourself in a chair somewhere and just become a recluse and sit there in front of the TV and get away from people. I know that's what you want to do sometimes, is withdraw, but that's the absolute worst thing you could do. It just advances the disease faster. It aggravates the depression. It aggravates the muscle rigidity. You've got to get out there. You got to get around people. You got to show the disease who's boss, and you have to keep moving. You got to do it. You don't have to, intense exercise is best, but you don't have to do intense exercise. You can get out and walk around the block once a day. Just do the kinds of things that you would do for your health if you didn't have Parkinson's. Eat good food, take care of yourself, take your medicine, stay active, go for a walk. Just don't sit down and quit. That's the best advice that I could give you. So there it is, my first attempt at an episode on Parkinson's disease. I hope that it was helpful. I don't know, maybe it was miserable to listen to, but it was good for me. It's a good outlet for me to talk about, and I want to raise awareness with this podcast among doing other things. Before I go, I want to read this poem by W.S. Merwin called Thank You, and one of the reasons I wanted to read it is it's an attitude of gratitude. I didn't mean to make that rhyme there. A grateful attitude in the face of bleakness and trouble, which is exactly what I'm shooting for. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want self-pity. I don't want to wallow in self-pity. I want to be grateful, and I always want to remember my blessings and all the good things. And another great thing about the poem is he talks about the cells of a brain going out, which is what happens in Parkinson's disease. So I don't think he was thinking about that specifically, but I related to that particular point anyway. This is Thank You by W.S. Merwin. Listen, with the night falling, we are saying thank you. We are stopping on the bridges to bow from the railings. We are running out of the glass rooms with our mouths full of food to look at the sky and to say thank you. We are standing by the water thanking it, standing by the windows looking out in our directions. Back from a series of hospitals, back from a mugging after funerals, we are saying thank you. After the news of the dead, whether or not we knew them, we are saying thank you. Over telephones, we are saying thank you. In doorways and in the backs of cars and in elevators, remembering wars and the police at the door and the beatings on stairs, we are saying thank you. In the banks, we are saying thank you. In the faces of the officials and the rich and of all who will never change, we go on saying thank you, thank you. With the animals dying around us, our lost feelings, we are saying thank you. With the forest falling faster than the minutes of our lives, we are saying thank you. With the words going out like cells of a brain, with the cities growing over us, we are saying thank you faster and faster. With nobody listening, we are saying thank you. We are saying thank you and waving, dark though it is.